Good morning, church. Nelson, are you in the auditorium? Where? Just stand up. See in the back. Nelson Juarez. He is one of our missionaries all the way from Central America. Actually, South America, Guatemala, Belize, El Salvador. Those are all his areas of ministry. So we don't get to see him very often, but he is here, so I encourage you to stop by the table and check out the ministries he's doing and maybe a word of encouragement, but welcome and hope you have a great morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, first of all, thank you. We know that coming to church and you don't know anybody or how anything operates can be awkward, and so we want to make that the least amount possible. And so there's a couple ways that you can do it. Hopefully you encountered our welcome team. If not, I encourage you, the whole church is a welcome team, right? And so we're here to help you feel comfortable and get your questions answered. So if that's you, there's a couple ways to do that. We have a welcome kiosk out on the patio. We also have people around you that are probably regular attenders. You can just introduce yourself and say hi. And if you're online, you can get on our website, or if you're in person, you got that little QR code in front of you on the seat in front of you, you can scan that. A lot of different ways, but we just want to say thank you for coming as well. So this last week, I was at my grandkid. Well, my daughter has five children, so I have five grandchildren through her, and it was one of their birthdays. And we went, it had been about a month since I've seen the kids, and I thought they changed a lot. I'm like, wow, you kind of, you know, and the girls, the one's 15, one's 9, one's 12. So, you know, they're trying to put on makeup and stuff because it's, you know, a birthday party or whatever, and super cute. But I was shocked at how much they had grown. And that created a discussion about, do you guys have one of those wall rulers, you know, where you measure a growth chart? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Either you mark it on the wall or you buy one or do whatever. And they go, yeah, we do. And we said, okay, let's go over there and, you know, see how everybody's doing. Well, the 15-year-old had grown an inch in the last month. And so they're all doing this and figuring it out. And it was like, wow, these kids have grown. It's not my imagination. And of course, you know, all of them lined up and all of them had grown. And so, you know, obviously if it'd been 6 months and nobody had grown, we would be going, what is going on, right? Because a normal part of life is to grow and height and maturity and all those kinds of things. So anyway, it was kind of interesting to be able to check that and look at what they used to be and how quickly they've done it and measure it that way. And the reason I bring that up is we've been talking, but God has a growth chart. He has a wall ruler for his church. He really does. In terms of you as a believer and me and my walk with the Lord, as well as us in a church. In other words, if we're healthy, then we should be growing. We shouldn't be stagnant. We shouldn't be the same or shrinking, right? That's a problem. What do those things look like? We looked at those last week, two of them, but we weren't done. There's actually four little wall rulers we can hold up to our church and well as individually to see, hey, are we maturing? Are we growing at a healthy pace? Are we different this year than last year? Are we different this month than last month? Are we different this week than last week? So we're going to keep that discussion going. I'm entitled this morning's message, Guess What? The Wall Ruler, and we're going to be looking at Important Indicators of a Healthy Church, Part 2. Acts 2, 46 and 47, two verses here. As we do a survey kind of study through the book of Acts, which is all part of Unstoppable series that we're doing, that the church we see in the first century was very unstoppable. It was just crazy how much they were growing, how much God was using, how much God was working. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, and we're serving the same God, and it's the same Holy Spirit. And so what are we doing or not doing that maybe is hindering some of the things that we see took place in the book of Acts? So it's kind of this glimpse of a church before the warts and wrinkles kick in, before the age spots show up, a newborn church, the first Christian church ever, the first Christians ever, and to see how they operate and how God uses them is humbling, actually. And if you've been with us, you've been seeing this and going, wow, okay, I got it. So by way of review, because we started this in Acts 2:42 last week, let me just read the prior verses. And so we can see the build here. So we saw that after, you know, these people became Christians, Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 people came to Christ. Now there's a church, a mega church, and no building, no ministries, no children's programs, just Christians. And we're seeing how they operate. And then Acts 2:42 says, and they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Notice the together, the all, and this is the whole big piece of church today. Church isn't something you attend. Church is a community that you're part of. It's a team sport. Christianity. You're made for walking along other people and them with you in your journey to the Lord. So one of our first points last week, well, the first point was, are we connecting together spiritually? Do you have relationships at Pacific Coast Church, spiritual ones? Do you have relationships in terms of you pour into somebody, they pour into you? Or is it just you, you, yourself, and you? If it's you, yourself, and you, first thing is that's not healthy for you, and then that's not healthy for the church. And so our to-do was, hey, expand that a little bit. That's why we have the donuts. Not to feed you breakfast, but to slow you down so you meet somebody. That's why we say, hey, turn to somebody in the auditorium and meet somebody. That's why I was saying when I was talking about welcoming new believers that, hey, let's meet somebody next to you because this is us. This is not me. This is not you. This is us. And the metaphor has been multiple things, a flock. And so you got the shepherd, Jesus, but you got the sheep, they're together. A church family, all these things, but we see it front and center in the very, very beginning, how they needed each other too and expressed those things. So we talked about that. Are we connecting together spiritually? We went on. And they were selling their possessions, verse 45, and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So it was the second point. They were connecting together financially. And so that's something we also, because part of it of being a family is you're there for one another in support and help and finances. And we talked about how doing church requires funds. We're not depending on some ecclesiastical hierarchy in some other country to fund what we do. It's us. And if we have the funds to do what we do, then we have the funds to do what we do. And if we don't, then we don't. But that's how it goes. And so, and I'm in that boat too. It's not like I'm the recipient. No, I'm required to give as well. In fact, I'm required to be a model for giving. Do you want that position? You know, so anyway, so we said, okay, what's the application of that? Am I giving to PCC? Am I supporting the ministry here that I'm enjoying and being part of? So that was a discussion that created a lot of silence. But hopefully we've moved past that and maybe taken a few steps of growth. But now our passage, we're still talking, we're still in the same position. And verse 46 says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Notice that generous piece again. There's the not hoarding, but actually sharing and being generous with one another. But they were going to the temple. Now, that's interesting. In other words, they're Christians now, but they're still Jews. Remember, Jews, they're heritage. Jesus was a Jew, right? So where did they go in the temple? Most people think they went to Solomon's colonnade, which was a public area where people would gather and talk and share and teach and that kind of thing. Seems to make sense because, as we'll see, there were more people coming to Christ as a result. So where did that happen? And most probably it was Solomon's colonnade. But they were going there daily, not on Sunday, not on Saturday, not once a quarter. They were going daily. And the text says, and they were glad. I don't want to pass that up. They were happy. They were excited what was happening. It's not, we should go to the temple again today. We should, you know, you could just see and sense that this is awesome. This is awesome. And it keeps going. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. So there were no relational issues. Everybody was getting along. Everybody was focused vertically and not bogged horizontally. And I don't want to pass this up because this is a very important thing. They weren't praising themselves. They weren't praising the apostles. They weren't backpatting each other and saying, look at what we're doing in the church. They were, text says, they were praising God, which means they were thankful to God, which means they had a heart full of gratitude to God, and they were expressing it because we see that they were doing it out loud. And the only way to know they were praising God is to hear them praising God. And so this is the third indicator, third wall chart, third thing to measure how we're doing of a healthy church. Are we engaging in worship? Are we regularly, well, let me be more specific. Are you regularly praising God? Am I regularly praising God? Are we regularly praising God? Being thankful to God, exalting God, showing gratitude to God? Or is God just a place where we lay our request cards and lay out our please give me cards versus take an inventory on what we already have and thanking God for that? That's a healthy Christian. That's one that has perspective that isn't myopic, it isn't self-focused, but it's vertical and recognizes the blessings we have. The very heartbeat that you have and I have, Job says, is a gift from God. When was the last time we thanked God for our heartbeat? Before you even get to the gospel, before you even get to being saved, before you even get to God's mercy and forgiveness and hope of heaven and all that, how about a brand new day that we get to wake up? It's a gift. We have someone in PCC that just passed away 2 days ago. And she's looking forward to it. So she was looking forward to the blessing of being in the presence of the Lord. But she doesn't have today. You do. I do. Are you thankful for it? Am I thankful for it? Or do we complain about it? Do we criticize it? Do we highlight how it should be better? This is what they were doing. Jesus said this in John 4:23 to the woman at the well. He says, the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. In other words, God wants us to worship him and to be thankful to him. He seeks that. And when we step into that and make that a regular part of who we are, and how we are, God is blessed, which means what? We'll be blessed. We just had our youngest granddaughter over at our house last couple nights. My son and his wife are taking a break, her birthday. She's two. I've talked about her. She's so cute. I mean, she is adorable. And she is just so polite. I don't know how else to describe it. She'll walk in, and I'll say, hi, Autumn. Oh, hi, Papa. And she'll come run over and give me a kiss. And she's the best kisser ever. She makes the sound, mwah. And I'll go, give me the kiss, and she goes, mwah, and hugs me, and we take her to the park. Oh, she loves my phone. Loves my phone. Of course, you know, You can't leave it with her for more than 30 seconds or you'll be having emergency show up at your door or something. So I have an old phone and I charged it and, oh my gosh, you'd think it was coming of age. Thank you so much, Papa. I really appreciate this. It's like, do you even know what the word appreciate means? My wife will walk in, have a new coat. She goes, that coat looks wonderful on you. Who does that? But it's constantly melting your heart. It's like, that is so cute. I kind of think that might be how God feels. When we just say, thank you for a wonderful day, he's like, wow. She didn't come in complaining. I mean, I'm sure has her moments. So, but she isn't preoccupied. She's right there present. We have to lay everything out, and she doesn't complain. She knows when nap time coming, but she knows we're going to watch two, you know, episodes of Little Bear, right? Because that's what you do. I wonder how God thinks or feels, because he says he seeks thankful people, worshipers. Then when we just express to God, thank you for that. Thank you for her. Thank you for him. When was the last time you thanked God for your spouse? When was the last time you thanked God for your church? When was the last time we have nights of worship. It should be we should have two nights of worship. Because we have two worship services, because you can't fit them all in one. So by definition, if we all valued worship the way we do Sundays, we would have to have two services. But we don't. And you ask yourself, why don't you? And usually it's a perspective on worship. Well, I'm really not going to learn anything. I'm just going to sing songs. At least on Sunday, we're going through the study. I mean, for musical people, it's cool. For a healthy church, it's cool. For an unstoppable church, it's required. And Christians. So what does worship look like? I don't want to get too, it could be as loud as a song. It could be as quiet as a prayer. You could be worshiping God in your tithes and offerings. You could be worshiping God in just attending church. You could be worshiping God by flipping on worship. You're going to drive into work instead of listening to a podcast. You could be, Colossians 3, I like the way it summarizes it, basically says, 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord. Give thanks to God and the Father through him. In other words, you could be worshiping God and cleaning dishes. You could be worshiping God and cleaning up the house. You could be worshiping God because it's all your perspective and your focus of being vertical rather than horizontal. So step into that this week. Come up with some practical things in your grow group you can hold each other accountable for. Say, here's how I'm going to expand my area of worship. Final verse, last part of verse 47. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who... Oh, let me say this too. Sorry. I'm going to back up. I'm going to give you an opportunity to apply worship because we're going to have worship on the backside of the service here this morning. If you noticed, I got up here a little early because I told the team, I said, hey, we're talking about worship. And we're not going to make it this half song, see you later musical moment. Let's do a couple songs to where we can actually engage with God and get to that thankful place, okay? So the reason I say that is because I know many of you, when I start praying or the team comes up, you go, this is my cue to get out, beat the traffic, or get to my post to serve or wherever you're doing. Don't leave. Stay put, okay?
Okay.
All right. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I think this is wild. 3,000 wasn't enough. They were going more. So we don't know the number, but we know that more people were coming to Christ every day, not every week, not every month, not the last quarter, every day. Wow. I mean, that's unstoppable. And this wasn't a transfer growth. This wasn't, oh, they're having problems at this church, so now everybody's coming to this church. These were being saved, the text says. Hearing and responding to the gospel and becoming believers in Christ and seeing Christ as their Messiah. Every day. I mean, what's the water they're drinking here, right? I mean, that's what you kind of look at. You go, wow. But I want to highlight that they were not withdrawing. They were not avoiding the temple. They weren't secluding. They weren't avoiding. They weren't finger pointing. They didn't become a clique. They were all like, we got to spread this word. We got to spread the gospel. We got to tell our friends, our family, our neighbors, our coworkers. We got to get this out there. And then God was using it. They were open, shining, sharing, inviting, being a light on the hill. So this is the fourth important indicator of a healthy church. Are we committed to outreach? Are we mindful of our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers needing Jesus? Are we mindful of the vacant seat right next to you that God wants filled? A healthy church grows the kingdom by keeping the gospel front and center. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men or before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We got to be faithful to shine, not to shut. We got to be faithful to expand, not withdraw. And unfortunately, churches can click out and not be aware of the visitor and not care about the visitor. I just care about my seat. Oh, by the way, yeah, let me see where everybody's sitting here today. Yeah, you're all here. I remember when I used to go camping with our family. You go to Huntington Lake, which, if you're familiar, it's basically Fresno, make a right. Going to the Sierras, about an hour and a half. It's about 8,000 feet past Shaver Lake. A lot of people know where Shaver is. And we did that for 20 years, I want to say. And I remember one year, I was going up the hill, because the hill was pretty steep, and I didn't always have the best of cars. Still don't, really. I don't care about cars. So this particular time, we got to the top of the hill, and I blew a valve. And it just started smoking and going, bang, 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 bang. And I'm now at the lake. So I'm, you know, no mechanics around, no nothing. I called a mechanic. He said, no, I can't fix that, blah, blah, blah. He was down the hill. But I'll give you $500 for your car. No. So I called my mechanic in San Juan. He said, if you can get the car here, we'll take care of you. And I'm like, oh, boy. Like 300 miles, something like that. And I got AAA. And I thought, well, maybe they'll tow. And I'm reading the fine print, and I call them. I said, here's my situation. They said, sorry, you know, we'll tow you 100 miles. That'll get you down the hill and at least get you to a mechanic. I'm like, no, I got to get it home. Okay. All right, thank you, I'll let you know. I said, how many toes do I have? She said, 4. So yeah, you know what I did. I towed 100 miles, called them back, said, I need a tow. Guy left, somebody else came, towed me another 100, called them back, got that baby home. with all the camping gear in the back of his truck. So it was perfect. So it wasn't clean. The reason I bring that up is an illustration. We are basically heaven's tow truck. And God wants us to tow people into heaven. And often it won't be clean. It won't be the perfect thing. It'll take maybe some stops and starts and stops and starts. But that's why we are still here, and that's why Jesus hasn't returned. Because he wants more people to know him. We'll have way better worship in heaven than here. We'll have way better opportunities to learn and be discipled. We won't even need it, but if we have it, it's there, because we'll be in front of our Savior, the best of the best. What we won't have is the opportunity to lead a non-believer to Christ. It's the most important thing. And you might be saying, didn't we just talk about this 2 weeks ago? Yeah, we did. So let me ask you something. Have you changed? Have you talked to somebody about Christ? Have you been more intentional about inviting somebody? Have you done anything in this area? Because it's been 2 weeks. My hunch is no, or most no. That's why the church was unstoppable. It grew in numbers. People sometimes say, oh, it shouldn't be about numbers. Are you kidding me? It's 100% about numbers. Jesus didn't come to die for our sin to lead 10 people to Christ and wrap it up. He wants how many people? All people. Now, it's not about numbers in attendance, so it's not about numbers transfer growth. It's not about, well, the church is three times bigger because everybody else left that church and came to this church. No, it's kingdom growth. So, I like how Paul puts it, 1 Corinthians 3:6. I planted, he's talking about the gospel. Apollos watered, he was a preacher, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. It's not how good we are. It's not how compelling we are. It's not how persuasive we can be. It's just being faithful to say, hey, you want to come to church with me this week? Or, hey, how can I pray for you? Or have you ever wondered about the cross? And then let God take care of the rest. It's the only thing I can't help you with and you can't help me with. Think about it. What's our mission statement? Reach, grow, and connect, right? Reach people for Christ, growing followers of Christ, connect together in Christ. I can help you with the growth. In fact, we're doing that. We're studying God's word. I can help you with the connect because, hey, here's some people you can meet. Turn around, meet. They're right here. You don't have to travel. They're right here. I can't help you with the reach. That's you in your mission field, and I'm not part of that. It's the only thing you can do for you in being vertical. So, how are we doing? The wall ruler. How are we doing? Worshiper? Need some adjustments? Are you an inch taller? Outreach? Inviting? Sharing? Shining? So, of course, when my grandkids were, you know, measuring each other, they said, Papa, why don't you stand against the wall? They're going to get chairs, and, you know, it was half the fun. And I'm trying to, I know what's coming. Because they said, how tall are you? Well, I know how tall I was. I was 6'4", and every time I've been back to the doctor, it's 6'3". They go, you shrunk. I said, I know. They go, why? Because I'm dying. That's what happens when you're dying. You start shrinking. That's what we don't want, spiritually speaking. And if this stuff isn't, if we look back now and hold up the wall ruler and go, I used to be pretty faithful to worship and enjoyed it. I'm not anymore. I used to talk about my faith a lot more than I do now. That's called shrinking. And that's called spiritually declining. And that's the complete opposite of unstoppable. So I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to pray. And we'll enter into just a couple songs of worship. And I encourage you just to engage with God. Maybe you just need to be more prayerful even about sharing your heart and not really changing in these areas. And how God wants you to be more specific, more intentional. To where we can hold up these things 2 months from now and say, yeah, there's been improvement. So Lord, as we now enter into what you desire, you seek worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, it's honest and it's from the heart. Holy Spirit, please speak to our hearts in terms of our community and how we're connecting together spiritually or financially, but also in terms of vertically, Lord, how we operate and how we worship and are thankful, as well as just tell people the good news. See that seat next to us is being filled by a family member or a neighbor, and praying to that end and looking for those opportunities. So Lord, may you be pleased with the attitude of our heart and the meditation of our mind right now.